I'd like to welcome you all tonight to this special meeting, the dedication service of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. And we have people here as far away as Phoenix in Arizona. We have people from Orlando in Florida, away up to Fredericton, New Brunswick, and all over North America. So we welcome every one of you, and we hope that you enjoy the service and the Lord will bless. Now tonight we're going to start off with the hymn number 26 in the hymn book. And the reason we're doing this is because our church doesn't sing this too well. And I've told the people that if you want to hear it sung properly, you've got to go to Greenville in South Carolina. But we've got a lot of Greenville people here, and they're going to help us sing this hymn the way it's supposed to be sung. And we're very happy that Dr. Gingrey is here to lead you in the singing. And then after that, we're going to hand over to the clerk or the chairman tonight, Dr. Stanley Barnes. So let's all join together, number 26, Great God of Wonders.
Oh, Reverend John Wagner to come and to lead us in prayer, please.
Let's all pray. Our eternal God and our loving Heavenly Father, we do come into Thy presence thanking Thee this evening for the Lord Jesus Christ, that greatest and best gift of heaven. O God, we stand amazed in Thy presence that Thou wouldst give such a gift for sinners such as we are. We bless Thee that in that eternity past Thou didst set Thine eyes upon us, eyes of love and pity. We thank Thee that when the cry went up, "Who will give a ransom?" Christ stepped forward. Amen. We thank Thee, our God, He willingly came to this sin-cursed world and dwelt among men. We thank Thee, our Redeemer, that Thou wast willing to go to Calvary, that we might be with Thee forever. We stand amazed that Thou wouldst become an object of Thy Father's shame, that we might become objects of His honor. We stand amazed tonight that Thou wouldst become the object of His wrath, that we might become objects of His love. Therefore, our God, we lift up our songs of praise to Thee tonight. We rejoice tonight for the occasion of this meeting. We can stand here all and say it's of grace from start to finish. Thou didst birth this work in Ulster many years ago, and Thou hast caused another birth this very day to take place in North America. And we bless Thy holy name. We come tonight confessing our great need of Thy presence in this meeting. It will be Thy presence that will make all the difference between a man-made affair and a God-ordained meeting for eternity. We pray tonight, Lord, that Thou wilt pour out Thy Spirit upon us. We need the Holy Ghost in this meeting. We pray that Thou wilt touch every part of it with Thy hand. Every preacher, every song, Lord, every aspect of the meeting, we give over to Thee completely. We want to know what it is to be led of God tonight in this meeting. And we pray, our Lord, that we will see Christ tonight. We pray that we will all know what it is to make much of our Master. O God, come, we pray. Show us once again the beauties of the Savior and His great grace for His church. We thank Thee we have gathered tonight as a clear indication that the Lord does build His church. And O our Father, we are asking Thee that this will be but the beginning of a great harvest of souls in North America. Tonight, O God, we will know from this day forward that the Lord will bless us indeed. Tabernacle, we pray in this place tonight. Walk among us, we ask Thee. Leave us not to ourselves. We'll be sure to give Thee all the glory. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen.
I take the opportunity also tonight to say how delighted we are to be here. The Reverend McClellan, Dr. McClellan, had mentioned people from different parts of Canada, United States of America. But I think he left out Ulster, the north of Ireland. And to me, that is the unpardonable sin. But we're glad to be here from Ulster as well tonight to join with you in this very special occasion. We've even visitors from Randallstown tonight. We're delighted to have them as well. Now, we have three greetings to bring tonight. First of all, from the clerk of our presbytery, Dr. John Douglas. And we are going to ask Dr. Douglas to come and to bring a word of greeting.
It's a high privilege for me to be able to come here and speak on behalf of the wider family of the Free Presbyterian Church, to represent in particular the congregations in Northern Ireland, and to include in our good wishes which we bring all the other congregations elsewhere on the face of the earth. We think it important to be here because it gives us the opportunity to say on behalf of our presbytery that we are wholeheartedly with you in this new venture for the work of God in the American continent. I think there were some who had certain fears that maybe in Northern Ireland we were not ready to show consent to the coming of age of the churches in the North American continent. But we're here tonight to represent our presbytery, the people in the congregations as well, to say, well, it's not just a matter of consent. We're wholeheartedly behind you. And I take this opportunity to extend my hand, so to speak, to you to say this is a token of our wholehearted support, and we are offering you our congratulations tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus himself. This is a milestone along the way. We've looked forward to it, for many a long day. So far from it being a matter of regret on our part, it's something in which we have the greatest joy, and I want to emphasize that. We're praying at home for you, and of course that has been the practice all along anyway. But I think now, with this better understanding, we're praying that the hand of the Lord may be with you, that God will say amen to the great step taken today. I know that if we were to express any wish concerning the ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in North America, it would be along the lines that you've adopted long before now. But we can't put it any better, any plainer, than to say, preach the book, preach the blood, exalt the cross, proclaim to men the one way of salvation. I know, if I speak as clerk of presbytery, I would never want the day to come in Ulster, and I certainly would never want the day to come in the American continent when our churches had lost their way. Everyone recognizes that we're living now in days of declension. We're distressed to see a theological shift and to take note of that in institutions which formerly were marked for their loyalty to the truth. And if there's such a falling away, we would be fools to imagine we could not be affected. So I ask you to pray as we look out into the future that the day will never come when we will have a man in any of our pulpits who would even raise a question over the authority of God's holy word. A man in any of our pulpits who would fail to lift up Christ, the mighty to save. We never want our churches to get off the rails. If I speak for the Whitfield College in Northern Ireland, or if I speak about the Geneva Reformed Seminary in Greenville, we have a common cause. And insofar as I can represent both tonight, I can say, we want your prayers. We want you to pray that God will raise up the right men. For one thing, gifted men with the unction of God on them. Now let us pray for our tutors, that tutorially our college will be true to God right down the line. I'm thankful to be here. I suppose if I have any scripture in mind, I'm not going to enlarge on this, but that verse in Psalm 87 just seems to be there for me, especially in relation to what I have been saying. Because of Zion, this much is brought to our attention. This man, that man, was born in her. The highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people. This man was born there. That's why we're engaged in the work. We want every preaching place to be a place where men start out for heaven. A place where souls have been born into the kingdom of God. So then, on behalf of all the churches in Ulster, we wish you Godspeed, that the hand of the Lord may be with you. There are some greetings, if I can bring them also. First of all, quite locally, dear Dr. and Mrs. McClelland, in behalf of Hope Assembly of Bible Christians in Mississauga, Ontario, I write to extend to you our heartfelt congratulations on the formation of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We wish to record our gratitude to God for His wisdom and mercy in raising up the forthright, separated testimony to the gospel of grace, which your churches and their faithful pastors bear in our beloved homeland of Canada in these dark times, as well as in the United States. We wish also to assure you of our continuing sympathetic support and prayer for you in every good word and work for the kingdom of our Savior. May our triune God abide as your sun and shield, your strength, and your exceeding great reward. Yours in the Lord Jesus, the Reverend John Peter Bodner. Message from Ivan Foster. Dear brethren, sending this email to you in the hope that it will be read and its contents conveyed to the inaugural meeting of the new presbytery. As one who can recall something of the joy and thrill, the battles and the fears of the pioneer days in North America, may I pass on my sincere best wishes at this historic time. If we look back to those early days and remember what the Lord has done in both Canada and the USA, then let us look forward and expect even greater things in the future. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. May the Lord bless you all from this night. We'll not leave out the land of Spain. Mr. Hanna there, writing this little note to the Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church, North America. Dear brethren in Christ, on this special historic occasion, marking the formation of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we, the Free Presbyterian missionaries in Spain, with our congregations, take the opportunity to wish you all God's richest blessing. We rejoice with you in the wisdom given by the Lord throughout all the deliberations leading up to this important event, as well as the divine direction you have so evidently received. We pray that the Lord will make this but the beginning of great things to come as the Lord continues to take you forward in His perfect will. Like the Ulster Church, you too have known your small beginnings, but the same promise that so encouraged the Mother Church in her conception has proved equally faithful in your case. So much so that God's work continues to spread throughout North America through the faithful preaching of the gospel. Our prayer is that it will continue to spread throughout the whole great American continent, north and south. In closing, we congratulate you and bless the God who from eternity past planned it all for His own eternal glory. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, and for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake, yours most sincerely in Christ, John Hanna. It's the motto of this state. Just interesting to make this remark. It's the motto of this state. Loyal it began, and loyal it remains. That would be a fine testimony for the Free Presbyterian Church to have 100 years from now. Bless the Lord.
Thank you, Dr. Douglas, for those words of greetings. Now we have a word of greeting from Singapore, and we're delighted to welcome Dr. Peter Ng.
I bring greetings from the 14 countries that we've reached around the globe under Jesus Saves Mission International, whose chairman is none other than Dr. Ian Paisley, for a board of reference. I want to say how much we owe to Free Presbyterian Church and his stand. As a young man just graduated from seminary, age of 32, I met Dr. Paisley in Amsterdam ICC Congress. There he was preaching on against new evangelicalism. His emphasis should be on the third syllable, jelly, no backbone. Remembered so well. Having seen him with a wonderful house tie, I said, that's a beautiful, beautiful tie. You like it? He said, yeah. He just took it off and gave it to me. Man who is so selfless. And again, when I invited me to visit him in Northern Ireland, I went there. One day he took me in his car, parked there, and he walked to a little hole. The big burly man squeezing in the hole. I said, what is he doing in there? I tiptoed behind him and saw him ministering to an aged, forgotten, forsaken old woman. With the word of God, with the Holy Communion, also touched. That's why I say to myself and to my family, to our people, say, if there's a man that really wins our heart for the poor, is Dr. Paisley. I'm so glad Dr. Frank Hamlin, McLean is of the same brand. I want to say also for the Free Presbyterian contribution to Jesus Saves Mission in Ulster. Not very long after knowing Dr. Paisley and the second visit, he said, Peter, why would you think of starting a Jesus Saves Mission in Ulster? We have some poor people in the Ulster area. I have a man there that can help you. And so he seconded Eric Smith, who later on became the Lord Mayor of Belfast. He did splendid work and started a church called Jesus Saves Mission Church. Now late, just a few months ago, God has raised up another Free Presbyterian man, Attorney Paul Ferguson, son of Reverend Mrs. Gordon Ferguson of London, the Free Presbyterian Church. He married to one of our Chinese girls, and he attended Jesus Saves Mission for about 6 to 7 months. And one day he said to me, Peter, I want to join Jesus Saves Mission. I said, are you serious? He said, yes. Send an application form. And I was so happy to receive a Free Presbyterian missionary to help us. Pray for him as he is doing a familiarization tour of our being Asian Jesus Saves Mission, and pray for his health. He's going to India tomorrow to visit and preach at mission stations in India. I'm very happy with the association with the Free Presbyterians. Great men like your pastor here, Alan Kynes, and a whole host of them, which are heroes of faith to us. Thank God for that. May God bless Free Presbyterian Church. Many more years of active service for the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, brother, for those warm words of greeting. Now, tonight we had hoped earlier on to have Dr. Paisley with us on this occasion, but as you know, Dr. Paisley took seriously ill. This time last year, we actually thought that he was coming towards the end of the journey. But the Lord wonderfully touched him and healed him and raised him up. And fortunately, he's not allowed to go on long plane journeys. And so for that reason, he's unable to be here. But he's in good form, and especially after these elections, I don't think he's ever been in such good form. I was along with a friend who met him, very timid, sort of a gentleman. And he said, Dr. Paisley, how are you keeping? And he said, brother, I'm doing really well. He said, I asked the Lord for a touch and he gave me a thump. And glory to God, he said, I've never looked behind me, I'm doing well. Now, we're going to have a little word of greeting by a way of a tape recording, and so we're going to have that just now. Thank you.
Brother and sister in Christ, it is a privilege to address you on this morning.
Delighted to have our sister Mrs. Joy Graham tonight from our Greenville congregation. She's going to come and sing for us, please. Thank you.
Everlasting love.
Thank you very much indeed. That was a wonderful message and song, a real blessing to our hearts this evening. I'd like to thank our sister again and also our sister Rachel Hamilton tonight for coming along and playing for us. Now we're going to have a historical summary, and it's going to be brought by the Reverend David Braham from our Greenville congregation. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to seek to keep my remarks brief this evening because you already have in your bulletin a summary not only of the work of the Lord and the historical dealings of the Lord in the denomination, but also in the work in North America as well. But in 1976, the Lord established a small Free Presbyterian witness under Dr. Frank McClellan here in Toronto. Not long after that, he did the same in Greenville, South Carolina, and in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. And those were small beginnings, but the Lord gave those who labored in those works and those who sent them in Northern Ireland a much greater vision, a vision for the entire continent of North America and the need that was so great therein. As a result, in 1982, the Lord established a branch of the Theological Hall in North America. First of all, in Greenville, though a little later on, there was also a branch of it established here in Toronto. And from those two places, a number of men studied and went out to start Free Presbyterian works and to see the Lord raise up a people to serve Him and to own the witness of the Free Presbyterian Church. But from that small beginning, there are now 23 works in North America. All but two of those are constituted. And the Lord has blessed us in a great way. We've been encouraged by what He has done. And particularly as you ever get the opportunity to go around to these churches and to hear individual people tell of how the Lord has blessed them, how He has encouraged them with a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He has liberated them by a great view of their standing in the Savior, and how He has worked in a great way to bless His word and witness to needy hearts. We have much cause to give the Lord thanks. Well, in 1993, at our minister's week of prayer in Malvern, Pennsylvania, Dr. Paisley was in attendance at that week and therefore chaired the commission meetings that took place in those afternoons. At that time, he expressed his view that the work in North America would come to the day when it needed to be on its own, when it needed to form an autonomous North American presbytery. And he urged us to begin to take steps toward that, to take them cautiously, but to take them, and to look to the Lord to establish such an independent denomination in North America. Well, we sought the Lord over that, began to pray about it, yet it was a daunting task. It was something that each of us felt, there was much to be considered and much that needed to be prayed over as we pursued that. And so it was not until May 2000 when we met here in this church for our commission meetings that we actually took the first real step toward that end. At that time, we formed a committee, and that committee had its first meeting here in Toronto in May of 2000. And over the next 4 years, we began to look at every aspect of the ministry and witness of this new denomination. We looked at the doctrinal stand. We looked at its practice, at the stand, and those things that would be the distinctives of the denomination. Though we always had cause to thank the Lord for our parent denomination and the work that He had done in leading us from the church in Northern Ireland, yet nonetheless, we wanted to examine every part of our stand and take our own stand, not just grandfathered in from the denomination in Northern Ireland, but a stand that we prayed over, a stand that we analyzed and examined and sought the Lord's guidance as to what that would be for a work in the North American continent. But I rejoice tonight to say to you, the stand we arrived at is exactly the stand of the Free Presbyterian Church of Northern Ireland. And we rejoice to say that the Lord has led us to bear a continuing witness to that stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in this continent. And we trust He will give us great grace to do so. And so in May 2004, 1 year ago at our meeting in Greenville, we voted unanimously to send a petition to the presbytery in Northern Ireland to request that a North American presbytery be formed. The result of that petition was that the Northern Ireland Presbytery established a commission of delegates to meet with delegates from our North American works to examine this issue and to analyze what needed to be the steps to go forward. That meeting took place in Belfast in June of last year. And the result of that meeting was a unanimous recommendation by that commission that a North American Presbytery be established. And so on January 3rd of this year, at the Presbytery meeting in Cumber, the Lord granted that step to be taken. The Presbytery voted to establish, to form a North American Presbytery. And this afternoon, that was officially put into practice. That was officially brought into being. And so, under the direction of Dr. Stanley Barnes, the deputy moderator of the Presbytery in Ulster, today each of the churches was polled as to the votes of their congregation. And every congregation voted to be part of this new denomination. Every one of the ministers was polled as to his willingness to come under the care of this new presbytery. And every minister voted so to do. And then all the ministers and elders present, 40 men and two who could not be here but who sent their vote in, 42 men, in other words, signed that charter today to be a part of this work and to see it founded. And as a result of that, Dr. Barnes officially constituted this new denomination and then led us in the first item of business, which was to choose a moderator for this new denomination, the first moderator. And unanimously today, that first moderator became the senior statesman among us, our senior minister, and the man who whose ministry began the first Free Presbyterian Church North America, and that is Dr. Frank McClellan. As one of the first items of business as a new presbytery, we read into the official record of the day's proceedings a statement of thanks, of special thanks to the Ulster Presbytery for their vision, for their support, for their oversight of the work. And since this meeting this night is being webcast across the world, and there may be those who are listening in from our churches in Northern Ireland, I want to express to those who represent you who are here tonight and to all who are listening our thanks for standing by us, for making us feel so much a part of the work in these formative years, for encouraging us and for sending to us the men who became the foundation stones, the men who led this work and continue to lead us. We thank the Lord for your vision, for your help, for your ministry to us, and for your encouragement all along the way. But let me also thank those in our North American congregations for your support. For these last 5 years, again and again and again, we have been asking you to pray for the important steps that were taking place in forming this North American Presbytery. And you have prayed. You've taken it to heart. And the Lord has abundantly answered those prayers and has brought us to this point. And this night we do raise our Ebenezer. We do say, hitherto the Lord hath helped us. And yet this is an inaugural meeting. This is the beginning, not the end. And we trust that the Lord will do great things in this work, that which He has done thus far would be but a token of the great things that He will do in the future in blessing a people, in granting these churches to serve Him to His glory all across this continent of North America. And we trust that the Lord, in His mercy, will fulfill to us that word that He spoke to His own disciples when He said, "Thou shalt see greater things than these." May the Lord make it so. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David, for those words this evening and for that historical summary. Now, we're going to have a resolution to the Ulster Presbytery. This stage, and this is going to be brought to us by the Reverend David Mook.
As Mr. Brame has indicated, our presbytery this afternoon adopted what we call the inaugural resolution of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Resolved that the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, in its first official statement, expresses its deep thanksgiving to God and its deep appreciation to the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster for its many years of diligent and unswerving ministry among the people of our churches in Canada and the United States. We understand something of the sacrifices that you have made, not the least of which has been to give your ministers for service in North America. We are especially mindful of the enduring vision of the esteemed moderator of Presbytery, Dr. Ian Paisley, in joining with his colleagues in the Presbytery to guide the establishment and development of the North American Standing Commission of Presbytery until its inauguration today as the Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. By our constituting acts this day, we have pledged our continuing solidarity with you and our earnest prayers for your continuing advance in the cause of Christ's kingdom. Before God, we express to Dr. Ian Paisley and to all who have served so faithfully with him our deep sense of humility and honor at the privilege given us to be associated with such exemplary servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We commend you to the great King and only Head of the Church, who alone will sustain and empower us all for the ongoing ministry of His gospel around the world, in the will of God, until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. To God be all the glory. Done at the City of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the 17th day of May, in the year of our Lord, 2005. And I'm happy to present this copy of this inaugural resolution to Dr. Barnes to take with him back to the Presbytery of Ulster.
You take your hymn books, please, and turn to 221. 221, The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, Her Lord. And we'll stand, please, as we sing.
We come to the reading of the Statement of Purpose, and this will be read by the Reverend David Mook, minister of our church in Phoenix, and then there will be the signing of the Statement of Purpose by the ministers and elders of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. And immediately that happens and takes place, then the prayer of dedication will be by the Reverend John Greer.
On the table before you is the copy of the Statement of Purpose. I'm going to read the Statement of Purpose, and then following that I will be calling the ordained ministers and elders of our presbytery to come and sign their names to this Statement of Purpose. Following that, we will ask them to be seated in the choir loft, and when all of those have signed, then we'll ask the licentiates and the students of Geneva Reformed Seminary and all of our guests from Northern Ireland to join us as well in the choir loft. The purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America is, A, to glorify God in the Trinity of His sacred persons according to the Scriptures. B, to declare the whole counsel of God and remain faithful to His inspired and infallible Word, the Bible, with particular emphasis on the following truths: the total depravity of man as fallen in Adam, the function of the law in exposing and condemning sin, thus shutting men up to Christ as their only hope of gaining acceptance with God, the limitations of the law in that it can neither effect justification in an unsaved person or sanctification in a saved person, the sole mediation and saving merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, and His atoning death, bodily resurrection, and ascension into heaven to be the advocate and great high priest of His people. C. To labor for the salvation of the lost by the preaching of the gospel of Christ and calling them to repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. D. To seek the edification of Christians by teaching them the Scriptures and by pointing them continually to the all-sufficient Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. E. To oppose all expressions of human self-righteousness and to give prominence to the glorious truth of justification by faith in the merits of Christ's righteousness, which God freely imputes to His believing people. F. To participate in the worldwide proclamation of God's saving grace expressed in the incarnation of His Son and in the perfect atonement Christ made by the shedding of His blood on Calvary. G. To promote scriptural and godly worship with special emphasis on prayer. H. To contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints, opposing the enemies of the gospel, especially the anti-Christian system of Roman Catholicism and the unscriptural ecumenical and charismatic movements, thus rejecting the compromising policy of neo-evangelicalism in favor of biblical separation. I. To stimulate fellowship with Bible-believing men and churches who are separated unto the gospel of God. J. To surrender the entire work of the ministry to God for the furtherance of the gospel, looking to Him to revive His work in this age of apostasy and to maintain the witness of this church until the glorious personal return of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. With a sense of history and hope, the Free Presbyterian Church of North America launches into the work that God has given it to do, with the prayer that the Lord will place the stamp of His approval and blessing on its labors. In publishing its Book of Church Order, it rejoices in its clearly Presbyterian form of government, but is mindful that in the final analysis, the structures we have adopted will be spiritually beneficial only as the Lord imparts to us the power of His Spirit. Now, as I call the names of our ordained ministers and elders, I'll be calling them more quickly than we did this afternoon. So as you hear your name, just come ahead, and the Reverend John Wagner will be directing you in where to sign. Dr. Mark Allison, Mr. Rich Amador, Mr. Greg Arce, Mr. Jerry Argue, Reverend Jeff Bannister, Dr. Michael Barrett, Reverend David Brame, Mr. Wilfie Brown, Dr. Alan Cairns, Mr. Brad Carper, Mr. Paul C. Conji, Mr. Tony Carosi, Reverend Reggie Cranston, Reverend Anthony Diderno, Dr. Rhett Dodson, Reverend Derek Irwin, Mr. Tim Farr, Reverend Mark Fineout, Reverend David Fletcher, Mr. James Fraser, Dr. Gail Gingery, Reverend Ian Gallagher, Reverend Stephen Hamilton, Mr. Henry Hansma, Reverend Reggie Kimbrough, Mr. Charles Kelsch, Mr. Pat Colin, Reverend David Lee, Reverend David McClelland, Dr. Frank McClelland, Reverend Graham Middleton, Reverend Myron Mooney, Mr. John Mulholland, Reverend Phil Owen, Mr. George Robinson, Mr. Howard Saunders, Dr. Larry Saunders, Reverend Lee Sterrett, Dr. Byron Verdon, Reverend Craig Vosikons, and Reverend John Wagner.
Congregation, please stand. We're going to lift up our hearts to the Lord in prayer on this occasion when the church here in North America has, as you have heard, been officially inaugurated at the presbytery meeting this afternoon. We come together now, having witnessed the signing of this statement of purpose, to lift up our hearts to the Lord and to seek His blessing upon this new denomination, upon this newly formed presbytery, seeking for the help of God for His servants and for His church here in North America in days to come. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we bow in Thy presence now, and we draw near to Thy throne of heavenly grace, in the name of Thy dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We bless Thee that As we gather here this evening, it is with a great and glorious joy in our hearts that the Lord Jesus Christ indeed is the only head and king of His church. We thank Thee that as we come to Thee, it is in His name and through the merits of His own mediation. Lord, we bless Thee this evening for the foundation of all, even that once and for all sacrifice that our Savior offered when He went to the cross, and there He poured out His precious blood, a ransom for many. Thy word tells us that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And how we thank Thee, therefore, for the perfect obedience of the God-man. We thank Thee for the satisfaction that He made to the law, both in its precept and in its penalty. And we thank Thee for the full atonement that He made for sin. We thank Thee, O God, that He has satisfied every requirement of Thy justice, that He has paid for the sins of His people, and has ransomed them to God by the pouring out of that precious blood at Calvary. Lord, we thank Thee that there is indeed a great multitude that no man can number, but is known to the God of heaven, and is indeed looked upon with that everlasting love. And Lord, how we thank Thee that Thou art establishing Thy church still in these days, days of darkness and wickedness and apostasy and declension, as we have heard these very terms used here this evening. How we thank Thee that Thou art calling out a people unto Thyself in these days. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art still building Thy church. Thou art calling sinners out of the world, out of darkness, out of the bondage of sin, into the glorious liberty of the gospel of Thy grace. And we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art forming them into congregations, that they might worship Thee and serve Thee, and do Thy work on this earth and throughout this world. We praise Thee, Lord, for the furtherance of Thy kingdom here on this North American continent. We bless Thee, Lord, this evening for the branches that have run over the wall and have now been established here in these two great countries. We thank Thee, O God, for the beginning of the work back there in Northern Ireland all those years ago, and how we praise Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast answered prayer mightily. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast preserved Thy witness in the Free Presbyterian work down through these many years. And now, Lord, as this daughter church has come into existence, and even this very day its presbytery has been formed, and this great stand has been taken, we pray, Lord, that heaven's blessing will rest upon it and upon its witness in days to come. We pray, Lord, for the newly formed presbytery. We ask, Lord, that wisdom and grace and power will be given to this body of men as they take the oversight of the new church here in North America. We pray, Lord, that each man will be filled with the Holy Ghost. O Lord, our hearts have been stirred even in the preaching of the Word over the past few days concerning the great need for the baptism of the Holy Ghost to rest upon the church and upon her office bearers, upon her presbyters, upon her congregation and her people. And Lord, we pray for this evening, that this work will know in a very signal manner the outpouring of the Spirit of the living God in days to come. Lord, may she be given power to stand for Christ, power to preach the Word, power to evangelize the lost, and to see missionary endeavor move forward, and a great work done for God and for Christ. Therefore, Lord, we simply and yet earnestly lift up our hearts to Thee now, and we ask Thee, O Lord, to put Thy hand upon this new work and this new movement. We pray, Lord, that as we commend the church to Thee and dedicate her to Thy glory, that thou wilt move with gracious power, and thou wilt be pleased, O God, to give those times of refreshing from the very presence of the Lord. How we thank thee for those who have served thee faithfully, those like our brother McClelland and brother Kearns, who were first in this continent, opening up the way, pioneering for God and for Christ. And we thank thee, O Lord, for all the others raised up to stand with them and to labor with them over these past years. And Lord, we pray that every man will know thy blessing and know in his own heart and soul and ministry great grace and great power to do the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, O Lord, the Mother Church in Ulster. And we pray, O Lord, that even while this body has now become an autonomous body, yet, Lord, may the ties be closer than ever. We pray, Lord, for that deepening of love and fellowship and the fraternal relations that already exist. May they grow and intensify. We pray, Lord, that the future international congresses will be mightily owned of God, and that times of blessing will be known by the whole Free Church family right across the face of this world. We thank thee tonight that the Lord Jesus is on the throne. How we rejoice that he is reigning. We thank thee that he shall reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. O Lord, we bless thee that there's a glorious day coming when he shall return in all his splendor and power. And we thank thee that his church will be presented then without fault and without blemish, without wrinkle or any such thing, but shall indeed be a holy body, fully sanctified and washed in the blood of the Lamb, and will go sweeping through the gates of the New Jerusalem to be with Christ and with God forever and ever. Lord, remember us now, we pray, and take our praise for all thy mercies to us. For we pray all this in Jesus' name and for his sake and for his eternal glory. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Now, at this stage of the service, we're going to call on Reverend Ian Gallagher to come forward, and he's going to make a presentation to Dr. Alan Kearns.
Well, we just couldn't have an evening like this without some surprises, which oughtn't to be a surprise, but we want to ask Mr. Kearns to come down and act surprised. First of all, the surprise is we shake your hand.
That is a big surprise.
Not my neck. Brother, we want to present to you this plaque for your keeping on behalf of this presbytery, of the minister and elders of this church. And for the benefit of everyone here who may not have the ability to read at a distance, I'm just going to read out the wording that is on this to the Reverend Alan G. Kearns, D.D., on the occasion of the formal inauguration of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. With our earnest thanksgiving to the great King and only Head of the Church, the Lord Jesus Christ, we, the ministers and elders of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, commend you in the name of Christ for your faithfulness to the cause of His Church, and in particular for your unstinting labors in the work of establishing this new denomination. We give praise to God for the singular and numerous gifts with which He has blessed you, and for the manner in which you have sought to employ those gifts for the advancement of Christ's kingdom in the North American continent over the past 25 years.
We are indebted to God for your steadfast vision, your sacrifices in the work of establishing Geneva Reformed Seminary, and not least of all, your labors in the monumental task of drafting the Book of Church Order that becomes today the constitutional document for the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We rejoice that you will continue to serve the Lord among us. That means you're not retiring. And we pray that our God will continue to make you fruitful in the work of the ministry, and that he will also enable you to enjoy the benefits of your own labor in the cause of Christ and his gospel in the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. To all of us, you are, and these few words are italicized on this page, and I presume are italicized on the plaque as well. You are a man greatly beloved. Presented at the City of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the 17th day of May, in the year of our Lord, 2005. And for the sake of time, every man that is here, every ordained minister and elder, has already signed this plaque as our token of appreciation to you for your leadership and for your godly example to us. May the Lord bless you with that.
Thank you very much. I'm supposed to act surprised. I'm not a very good actor. But I have no difficulty tonight because I hadn't a clue until I didn't even get a program for myself. And I happened to look at my wife's program, and I was surprised that this was on it. And to be quite honest, not particularly pleased. Not for the reason I didn't want to receive this, but I had hoped that I could tonight have an anonymous part and be here just to enjoy the meeting and not be up here at this point in time. I do thank the men for this token of their kindness and of their love. I receive it very gratefully and very humbly before the Lord. Frank McClelland and I have been around a long time. Well, we've been here a long time, and we're also getting more around the longer we live. But we'll not get into the personal details. We have been here a long time. When we started out, we really had no idea what the Lord was going to do. I remember coming to Toronto when they were meeting in the school. Strangely, I even remember the text I preached on. And Mr. Douglas will be glad to hear that was a text about the precious blood of Christ. The church was in a battle, and it was either going to be the making or the breaking of the church, and it was the making of the church. I came through Toronto when I was going to visit Greenville for the first time, and that was only for pulpit supply in 1978. Went very well, and they asked me to stay. I said I wouldn't, because the Lord had called me to Canberra, Ballymoney, and I'd be there until he called me out. Frank McClelland and they prayed. He always believed that I should come. He and I disagreed. As usual, he won the argument. But here we then both served on the same continent. Frank and I have been very close and dear friends before we ever came here, and we have maintained that friendship through the years. And we have been both greatly encouraged at what the Lord has done. my greatest encouragement is nothing that I have done for God. Every preacher feels this. You think you feel it when you're 30, in your 30s and your 40s, but as Frank would testify tonight if he were speaking here, when you get a little beyond that, and whatever Mr. Gallagher says, you see the finishing line before you. You realize that you just hope and pray that you have something worthy of Christ, something that will stand the test of the judgment day. We have nothing to boast in anything we have ever done for the Savior. My mind went tonight to one of my favorite texts in the book of Psalms, the 92nd Psalm. Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. That's with me always a text of great rejoicing. I'm not going to preach on it, but you ponder it. And of all the works that the Lord has done, and the Lord has done great and gracious things in both Canada and the United States. But of all the works that the Lord has done, the one that I am most grateful for is the work that you see represented behind me tonight. I well remember the theological hall commencing in 1982 with two students. The next year we had two more students. That's how we went along. We completed a 96-hour Master of Divinity course in one calendar year, working from 8:30 in the morning till 5 o'clock at night, 5 days a week, and that was just as a sideline. The work was tough, the days were long, but God started calling men, men of God, men who would stand for Him. Like any other church, we have lost some along the way, and that has brought great grief to our hearts. But thank God, the most by far have stuck. And you see them behind you tonight, behind me tonight. Men who have gone out. Mr. Wagner, I think it was reminding us of his interview and his application. Do you understand in applying to this work that you will have, we promise you nothing by way of financial support or anything else. That's a promise we were always glad to keep. And so on. Yes, the men came in expecting nothing but to do the will of God. I thank God for them. The Lord has augmented them by bringing some men, other men from Northern Ireland. And we rejoice in that. Thank God that through them and the American and Canadian brethren, we now have the closest possible bonds with our parent denomination in Ulster. I thank you, men, for all your kindness. I can't say that all the labor on the Book of Church Order was equally enjoyable. You get into a style of writing there that you nearly feel like when you get up in the morning, you speak like a lawyer to your wife. But nonetheless, she brings you down to earth very quickly with a bump. However, the Book of Order is not yet finished. I thought Mr. Gallagher was going to come over the most unwelcome statement that you haven't finished writing, you're going to finish it. And I have already said, I can name you the man to finish it. Lord, choose him. And I can certainly name him. I'll not do it publicly tonight in case his wife dies of a heart attack, because his life is going to change when he takes on that job under our Documents Committee. But I thank the men, and I thank you, and I trust that the Lord will bless this work and make it mighty in the earth, that we will all look back on this night and in the days to come, and we will all say, Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy works. On a personal note, let me finish on a totally different subject. Preachers do that all the time, don't they? Let me do this. I'm delighted that I have all my elders from Greenville here tonight. Our only sadness is that our brother Johnny Gresham isn't with us. Johnny had planned to be here and, in fact, was just about to go and book the passage to get up here when very suddenly, when I say suddenly, I mean within a space of 30 seconds, the Lord took him home. He's with Christ, which is far better. But, and I know I speak here on behalf of all the brethren, I'm delighted that his wife still made the journey, and Betty Lou's with us tonight. That took a great deal of courage, a great deal of grace, and that we bless God for that. Keep her in your prayers. I think that says something for the spirit of fellowship and family closeness that we have in all the churches. That she did that. Herb came all the way from Arizona, despite the fact he was going to have to look at John Wagner, Frank McClellan, and me. And others have gathered in. I think it says a lot for what the Lord has done and what he's going to do. Thank you.
Several times on the phone with Dr. McClellan, it was always this phrase of, as the outgoing moderator, I want you to do this or that or the other thing. Well, I have one last action to take tonight. I'm no longer the outgoing. I'm gone. It's over with. Hallelujah. Someone else has now got the reins. I'd like to ask Dr. McClellan to come now to the pulpit, if he would. As the first Free Presbyterian minister to pioneer a mission church in North America, you have been an eyewitness to the entire history of Free Presbyterianism in this continent. Your sacrifice in leaving your native country to bring your young family to Toronto in 1976 continues to be a cause for thanksgiving to God by the founding generation of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America 29 years later. Facing the raging opposition of the ecumenical community in Toronto, you and your small congregation persevered in the work for Christ to which he had called you. After nearly three decades of faithful ministry, you have seen Toronto Free Presbyterian Church become a steadfast beacon of gospel truth and a stalwart proponent of the cause of Christ in the face of deep apostasy. The development of the church's physical campus has become a symbol of the way in which your vision and depth of commitment to the work of Christ has led to the expansion of the Free Presbyterian ministry across Canada from east to west. In addition, your personal involvement in the development of the Free Presbyterian witness in the United States has been a source of constant encouragement to the Free Presbyterians in that nation. And with that said, it is, on behalf of these ministers and elders, my joy to present to you this plaque. It says, to the Reverend Francis R. McClellan, D.D., first moderator of Presbytery, on the occasion of the formal inauguration of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. On this historic day, the members of the founding generation of this presbytery salute you and praise God for his good hand upon your life. It is most fitting that we have elected you as our first moderator. Not only are you the father of Free Presbyterianism in North America, but your steadfast cheerfulness in the face of most severe opposition and deep personal triumph has marked you as a faithful man of God, under whose leadership we count it a privilege to serve. The ministers and elders of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, presented at the City of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the 17th day of May, in the year of our Lord, 2005. God bless you. And surprise.
Thank you.
Well, this is a real surprise. And you folks in my own church know that I warned you not so very long ago, if anybody ever calls me Francis, they will be in real trouble. And here now I have a plaque. I was given the name Francis, but I do not like Francis. I like to be called Frank. And I am Frank. Frank and Ernest, although I'm not AFE. But I do appreciate the kindness of our brethren. And just last night, up at the conference centre at Sutton, I looked into the dining room and saw all the people there, and saw all the ministers and elders and wives and children, and I just rejoiced to see the great things that God has done. Not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name be the glory. I will say no more now because I will be saying something else in a moment or two, but I do want to thank my brethren for this kind token. It certainly is a blessing, and it is very, very humbling indeed. Thank you.
You want to take this? Preachers, by the very nature of their calling, always in the spotlight. But there's someone behind the scenes all the time that really make those men what they are. And that's their wives. They put up with a lot. Just ask any minister's wife when her husband's had a rough day in the pulpit. You'll find out what they put up with. These men have been in the spotlight for years. We've honored them tonight. But we have a time to honor their wives. I'd like to ask Mrs. Joan Cairns and Mrs. May McClellan, please, to come forward just for a few moments. These ladies, for these many, 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 many years, I'm going to get it later on, have been like mothers to the minister's wives. They've shown great graciousness and wisdom down through these years. We thank God for their godly lives that they have lived in their congregations. And on this special occasion tonight, as we inaugurate this new denomination, we want to honor them as well. And ladies, we know one thing about both of you. You love to shop. And on behalf of the ministers and elders, here are two gift certificates for each of you to shop away. Wait till tomorrow, though, before you do that. And because ladies like flowers, men remember that. The Lord bless you. Well, give them a hand. Thank you. To recognize, that's moderatorship talk. Mr. George McConnell, would you come forward?
Well, I count it a great privilege to be here tonight to take part in this very historic service. And especially to be sharing it with our esteemed clerk of Presbytery, Dr. Douglas, and Dr. Cairns, and Dr. Barnes, and Dr. McClelland. They're all fathers in the church, and they're men that we have looked to over the years for guidance and for help and for instruction. And the Lord has made them a blessing to our church, the whole denomination, both in Ulster and here, and we thank God for them. I well remember the first time that Mr. McClelland came to our church. You know, our congregation, there's one or two wits in it. And I'm glad I didn't catch on any of their witticism, but however. His brother was our first minister. And when he received the call to come home to train for the gospel ministry, he was doing some deputation meetings around our churches, and he was telling them how the Lord had called them. There was a few of us doing voluntary work around the church sometime afterwards, and we were comparing him with his brother, you see, and wondering, do you think that man will ever meet a preacher? And there was two brothers there in our group, and one brother says, I don't know, he said, for he looked a lot at the ceiling when he was preaching. And the other brother said, I don't agree with that. He said, he looked at me two or three times. And his brother said back to him, I maybe thought you were part of the ceiling. But we're glad that he did make the mark, and the Lord has blessed him, and we have followed with interest and prayerfully the work that both him and his wife have done here, and the whole family in Toronto and Canada. I bring greetings from the Missionary Council, from the Mission Board, and from our missionaries here and there across the world, and especially in Kenya, where I know that this church has sent time and again to the relief of the work in the land of Kenya, and they really appreciate that, all that was done by the church here under the leadership of Dr. McClelland. And I should say just before I go on that Mrs. Kearns is one of the few foundation members of the Missionary Council left. As a wee girl, a wee young girl, 1964, she was one of the, or 62, she was one of the first members at the Missionary Council. And there's only her and one or two others left today, and we thank God for them. But I'm glad to be here on behalf of the Missionary Council to make a presentation to Dr. McClelland of a puppet watch. And it says, I'll read what it says to you. Present it to the Reverend Frank McClelland, D.D., by the Missionary Council on the occasion of his election as moderator of presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, May 2005. And we trust that the Lord will bless both him and his wife for many years amongst us and spare them as they have. Where is it? I'm very glad to be able to get this. You belong spared amongst us.
I appreciate that. Well, thank you, George, for that kindness. Maybe I can wear this as a sort of moderatorial chain of office. I do appreciate the kindness, and I'm speechless. But in a few minutes or two, I hope not to be speechless. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed for all those presentations. I couldn't help smiling about the watch. I think the new Pope has got one of them. But there we are. But we come to a very important part of the service that you've all been looking forward to, and that's the men's choir of the ministers and the elders. And nobody has looked forward to this more than I have. Some years ago, I went to preach as a student or a young minister in our Ballymoney congregation, the church that Dr. Kearns preached in. And my wife went into the cry room, and of course, it was recorded right into the cry room. And I got up and I sang my heart out. And they didn't realize it was my wife sitting behind them in the cry room. And one Ballymoney lady nudged the other and she said, "Do you hear that? Our man's bad, but that's the worst we've ever had." And ever since that, I have never been able to join a choir. Now, as the deputy moderator tonight, I'm in charge And I'm going to join the choir too. Could somebody please take a photograph? I wouldn't believe this at all. Thank you very much indeed to the men's choir for coming along and singing tonight. And I really enjoyed myself. Amen. Now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce the first moderator of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, Dr. Frank McClellan. I've known Dr. McClellan for many, many years and his family. And I've loved each one of them in the Lord. There's one thing about Dr. McClellan, and that is that he doesn't like anyone getting up and walking out of the service. Now, he's promised tonight that he's not going to be too long. But, you know, preachers. And one occasion he was preaching. This young fella got up and he started heading for the door. Dr. McClellan couldn't hold back. And he said, "Young man, where are you going?" And he looked up and he said, "Dr. McClellan, I'm going to get my hair cut." And he said, "Why didn't you do that before the service?" He said, "Sir, I didn't need one then." Dr. McClellan.
Well, thank you, brother, for those kind words. He was saying how much he enjoyed singing the choir, but you want to be where I was standing behind him, trying to keep the tune. It was a kind of difficult. I'd like to just say that we rejoice to see everybody here tonight, right across the countryside. And I want to thank our brother Barnes for leading this service tonight. We appreciate his labor of love. And like the butler in the days of Joseph, I do remember my Falstaff's day, and I do thank the Lord for these Ulster men who have come along, Brother Barnes and Brother Douglas and John Greer. And then we have Jim Hayburn with us, who is doing liaison for this new Congress that will be held next summer in Northern Ireland. And we also, as you know, have George McConnell, who is the General Secretary of our Mission Board. And I see up in the gallery there we have the Reverend Kevin MacLeod. Now, he's one of us who went over to become one of them. And now he's come back again, and maybe he'll come back and be one of us again. But we're glad to see Kevin tonight, and we welcome him cordially in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, tonight sees one of the most significant meetings ever held in any of our Free Presbyterian churches in North America. We have just witnessed today and tonight the birth of a new denomination, the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The new baby weighed in at 23 congregations and bears a marked resemblance to her mother, the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. Indeed, the mother-daughter similarity is so close that they could well pass off as one and the same. This is a night of joy and gladness, tempered with the fact that, as with any newborn child, there will be serious challenges of growth and development in the future. But I'm glad that our child today comes from a very healthy spiritual stock, and we believe that the Lord of Heaven will bless her, as we read in the epistle dedicatory in our Bibles, with many and happy days, and as his hand hath enriched her with many and singular and extraordinary graces, so she shall be a wonder of the world in this latter age, to the honour of that great God and the good of his church, through Jesus Christ, our only Lord and Saviour. We are delighted you could be with us on this significant and historical occasion. I was only a boy of 15 when the Free Church was founded, but I can remember vividly the impact of the birth of that church on my own life and the life of our family. And how good to see so many young people here for our minister's week of prayer and in the service tonight. And I do pray that they will carry with them happy and soul-stirring memories of what has transpired here on the 17th of May 2005. May those memories galvanize them to stand for truth and righteousness in their succeeding generations. It is a great honor for me to address you as the first moderator of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Now, I know that my chief qualification for such an office is seniority, and that is in terms of age. Now, I didn't really want to use the word seniority, so I checked Webster's New Thesaurus for another word. And it suggested words like decrepitude, dotage, and senility. So I decided just to stick with the word seniority. I was not looking for this office. I was hoping to ride off into the sunset and, like one of old, say, hi-ho silver, and retire from the scene. But seriously, I do appreciate the confidence of my peers in giving me this honor to represent the church for the next year. And to the best of my ability, and with the necessary help of God, I will endeavor to adorn the dignity of the office with integrity, faithfulness, and with the ultimate end of the glory of our God. My wife and I have set ourselves the task this year of trying to visit each of our churches with the purpose of encouraging them in a time described by many as a post-Christian era. Pioneering work is not easy. We have been there and we have done that. And if we can just help somebody walk a little closer to the Lord, to trust His promises and step out in faith a little more, to thank the Lord a little more for our precious heritage, then our labor will not be in vain in the Lord. Now tonight I want to look at a verse that has been my constant companion for a number of years now, and I've never preached on it before, and maybe after tonight I'll never preach on it again, but it has been a constant encouragement and companion for a preacher's heart. And the verse that I want to look at is Acts chapter 11 and the verse number 15. You have Peter, the Apostle Peter, in Caesarea. Caesarea was in the Mediterranean coast, some 50 miles to the north, a little bit to the west of Jerusalem. And it was a very significant event, because that was the time that the gospel door was opened to the Gentiles. And you and I tonight should thank the Lord for what happened in the city of Caesarea way back so long ago. Verse 15 of Acts chapter 11, Peter is testifying to those in Jerusalem of what happened in Caesarea. And he says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning." As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now I want you to focus on the words "the beginning," because here we have the history of the church. Now, the beginning of the New Testament church, there were three emphatic marks of it. First of all, there was prayer. They were told by the Lord to tarry at Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And about 120 people met there in prayer. They met in one accord, and they laid hold upon God and prayed that God would bless them. So the early church was marked by prayer. It was also marked by tremendous power, because following on from their prayers came the wonderful day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down and there was a tremendous turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that early church was marked with protest. Now I'm using the word protest in its basic context, which means protestus, for a witness. And the church at the beginning witnessed primarily the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death of Christ on the cross, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and His subsequent ascension. But in any battery, and you want to have power, you have to have both positive and negative. And so in the church in the early days, not only did it positively present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but negatively it took its stand against those who were evil and those who were in error. For example, they condemned the murderers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, you find that they condemned the purveyors of false doctrine. You find Paul in his day to the Galatians warning that if they preached any other gospel than the gospel of this book, then the curse of God would be upon them. So you've got the beginning of the New Testament church: prayer, power, and protest, or if you like, the presentation of the word. Now, the beginning of the Free Presbyterian Church. I've given you a short history of the church in our bulletin on page number 4, and I'm not going to read it tonight. You can take time to look at that, and you can see how the Lord has wonderfully led. And by the way, we have some extra copies of this. You can keep this as a memento or a keepsake for this important meeting. And if you want to take some home for your friends, we overprinted quite a bit for that reason. And you can take some for your friends back in your own congregations when you return after the week of prayer. So the church started in 1951, as you know. But that church highlighted those same three emphatic marks, because the Free Church was founded and built on prayer. And from the beginning, and even before it became a Free Presbyterian Church, there was a tremendous emphasis upon the need to lay hold upon God. And we had some wonderful prayer meetings in those early days. Brother Douglas and myself probably are the only two who go way back that far. Mr. Cairns isn't far from it, but we were right there at the beginning. And they had some tremendous prayer meetings. And we had all nights of prayer on a Friday night. You met at 10 o'clock at night, and you prayed through to the dawn. And those, I want you to understand, these were not stodgy prayer meetings. These were not sanctimonious prayer meetings where people are showing themselves to be very, very holy. These were solid prayer meetings where people were crying unto God. And there were prayer meetings that were filled with joy. Dr. Barnes reminded us on Sunday morning about the need to have happiness in the Lord. Well, in those prayer meetings, there was a great happiness and what we would sometimes call a sanctified humor. I remember we had a mission in my home area of Carrickduff in 1960, and we had a prayer meeting one night, and it was just before the mission started, actually, and we started at 9 o'clock, intending to go on for 1 hour. That prayer meeting of young people, just like our young people's fellowships, continued at 1 o'clock in the morning, and God really came down in a mighty way. And we experienced something. I believe that God just pulled aside the veil to give us a little view of what revival could be like. And so that was a tremendous time. And I remember one night, one of those prayer meetings, a neighboring farmer of ours, this man called John, not Douglas or Wagner, but this man called John. And he was a very staid individual, a very severe man. And yet he was a believer. And he got up in the prayer meeting this night for this mission, and he prayed in his stentorian, very staid and very severe tones. And Mr. Paisley made a reaction to one of the petitions that this dear man said, and it was so funny that John McGowan, he just broke up in laughter, and he was never known to laugh before because God had stepped in. What a blessed thing it is to rejoice in the Lord our God. And those prayer meetings were times of great blessing. But then there was also the power of God. The power of God was revealed in those prayer meetings. And the work was solidified in those early days. And the Holy Spirit was at work in those first 15 years as the work was compacted. But then, as you can read in the little story of the history, in 1966 the heavens opened and we entered into a period of blessed growth. The souls saved, the congregations formed, and the churches built. And the wonderful thing is, I was just doing a little calculation there, that the percentage of growth of our churches in the first 15 years in Northern Ireland is exactly the same as the percentage of growth we have had in the 29 years now. Now, at the end of their period, there was a great moving of God. And I do pray that the Lord will do the same for us here in North America, that will go forward by the power of the living God. I can't go away from the word protest. We certainly were dedicated to preaching the whole counsel of the Word of God and presenting the Lord Jesus Christ. But then at the same time, we had some rare protests. A protest against apostasy. A protest against those who had turned away from God. And the Lord used that even to bring to the attention of people the need to stand up for God. And so we had a number of public and private protests. So in the beginning were great times of blessing over there in Northern Ireland. Then we come to look at the ministry of the church, because Peter says here in giving his testimony, he says, as I began to speak. So here is the ministry of one of the men of that early church. And another great mark of the Free Presbyterian Church has been the matter of preaching. Now, Northern Ireland has produced some great preachers, men like Henry Cook, men like the famous W.P. Nicholson, who lived in the early 1900s and well into the middle of the 1900s. These were mighty men of God. And my friend, when we write the history of our church up, we'll be looking back and we'll rejoice in the fact that Dr. Paisley recaptured the spirit of preaching, of biblical preaching in his day. And largely through his efforts, many of us have come into the ministry and began to preach the word of the Lord. And it was laid upon our hearts, both by example and by study, the importance of the preaching of the word of God. Because the Bible tells us it pleased God through the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. And so our ministry has been one of preaching the word of the Lord. Now, as we mentioned, the Bible says it pleased God. God in heaven is pleased in the person of his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He is well pleased in the plenitude or the fullness of his Son, because the Bible tells us in him all fullness dwells. God the Father was well pleased in the purity of his Son, because Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. And then, my friend, God the Father was pleased in the passion of his Son, because when Jesus died on the cross, we're told in Isaiah that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And we wonder at the amazing grace of God that he would bruise his only begotten and beloved Son, that you and I today might have the blessing and the gift of eternal life. Men and women, let us today rejoice in the Lord. And for those of us who are called to the preaching ministry, let us ever preach always all the counsel of the Word of God, and lift high He who is the incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, Peter was described earlier in the book of Acts as an unlearned and ignorant man. The word unlearned is a grammatos, which means untaught or illiterate. The word for ignorant is the word idiotes, which means a private person. Now, Peter wasn't an idiot by any means. Neither was he illiterate, because he sat in the very best school of all. He sat in the school of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was one who walked with Christ. He was one who witnessed Jesus Christ dying on the cross. He was one who witnessed the resurrection and the glorious ascension of the Lord Jesus. And Peter was one of those who experienced the full power of Pentecost. And Peter also saw in his day the great growth of the church in those early days. And he who was called to be the apostle to the Jews was used of God to go to Caesarea and there to minister to those Gentiles. And you and I tonight should thank the Lord with every vestige of our being for Caesarea, because there the gospel door was open to the Gentiles. If it had not been for that, humanly speaking, you and I would not be here tonight. Thank God for that. Now, the Lord has told us in his word here, it says that Peter, he says, when I began to speak, and this is why I bring this verse into the pulpit with me on every Lord's Day, and on every occasion I want to preach or have to preach. Because he does not say, that after I delivered a great oration, he does not say after I exhibited my ability. He does not say after I showed the people my verbal power of expression. The key to his ministry was the Holy Spirit. And brethren, today we have a difficult task, but we cannot do it by our own strength. This is a great word of encouragement to my own soul, because it's not the loudness of our voice that will affect the people. It's not conversely the softness of our voice. It's not the eloquence of our language. It's not the drama of our voice. The thing that matters above all is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I have met people who, like Dr. Pace, have a very loud voice and filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember in my previous church he came and he preached on the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And I believe he got it because he preached for 1 hour and 50 minutes, almost 2 hours. And you wouldn't have known the time passing as we rejoice together in the ministry of the word of the Lord. It's not the softness of the voice. I've met preachers, I think of a dear lady who came along to our church some years ago, known as Mary Morrison. Now she's married, but she was saved in the Isle of Lewis revival. And she came and spoke very quietly in our prayer meeting one night. And the power of God was greatly evident because she had the anointing of the Lord upon her. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us through the Holy Ghost by the roaring thunder. And sometimes just by the still small voice. And I thank God that when we step into the pulpit, we don't have to impress the people with our eloquence, for we have none. But thank God we have this promise of the Lord that He will give His power, the power of the Holy Spirit. I was just telling the men this afternoon that in the birth of a baby, the first thing that happens is it cries. And it cries for a very good reason. And if it doesn't cry, it gets a little slap to make it cry. And the reason is so it'll take a good first breath. And we are now a new church. We are now a baby church. And oh, we need to have the breath of the Holy Spirit. And thank God already in our week of prayer last evening, Brother Wagner shared with us, and this was the burden of his heart, that we would know the fullness of God the Holy Spirit. And so, if this church is going to have an effective ministry, we need to have the Holy Ghost working with us and working in us. And thank God, God has promised the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him and them that obey. That brings me to the final point, which is the necessity of the church. Because it says, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And you can see the connection. Because we had a glorious beginning in Northern Ireland. And I wish that you folks here who are from North America had been with us in those days. So that we wouldn't just be telling you of what we experienced, what we saw, but you'd be able to experience it yourself and know the fullness of God's power. But look what happened here in Caesarea. The very same power that they had on the day of Pentecost was manifest to the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius there in Caesarea. And so thank God today we can come and we can rejoice that the necessity of the church can be fulfilled in the Lord. Now for Peter, this was a new beginning because he was called to be the apostle to the Jews. And other parts of the scripture make it show that he was very much attached to the Jewish nation and the Jewish people. But the Lord had to use a miracle and a vision to overcome the personal hesitation that Peter had. And he let down from heaven in this vision this great vessel with all the different animals, clean and unclean, in it. And Peter was told, arise and eat. And he said, not so, Lord, for I have never. And so the idea of this new development was one that had some hesitation as far as he was concerned. Now, I remember well when the Lord first called me to this country, and I spoke with some people and some of my brethren. I have to say that there was a hesitation in some people, and they were not very enthusiastic. I knew that God had given me a clear call, but some of these people, they had the view that, well, the Free Presbyterian Church was called specifically to Northern Ireland. And it was. And it was called there, and it was called there for just a provincial ministry. And so the idea of going abroad, in the sense of going out to start Free Presbyterian Churches in other parts of the world, it didn't really come to them. But you know, God had a work to do. And I remember when I was called through Deuteronomy 1 and 21, "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee, go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged." But in the context of those early chapters of Deuteronomy was a word, begin. Begin to possess the land. Begin to possess the land. Begin to possess the land. And tonight, my friends, I believe that in the will of God, we have come to the end of the beginning. For me, perhaps the beginning of the end. But for the congregations and the church, that we have come to the end of the beginning. And now we move forward by the power of God to claim great things for God. Peter was directed by the Lord because Cornelius was praying up in Caesarea. And he followed up by sending his servants down to Joppa at the word of the Holy Spirit. And down in Joppa, Peter, he was supplicating and the Lord was leading him. And so God opened a door there and told Peter to follow. And he obeyed the Lord. And the Lord opened the windows of heaven and poured out a blessing upon the Gentile people in Caesarea. We are praying today for the same Holy Ghost power. They prayed in harmony. Notice in the New Testament in Acts how it was they prayed with one accord. And the psalm tells us how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And the last verse of that short psalm, 133, tells us that that is the place where God commands the blessing. We can ask it. God commands it. Where does He command it? He commands it where the brethren are dwelling together in unity. And that's why as we face the future, as a Free Presbyterian Church in North America, we must ever pray to God that we will endeavor by His help to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of Christian love. Because the old devil, he has a little wedge and a little hammer. And the work of the unity of the church is the work of the Holy Ghost. But the devil loves to come with his little wedge and his hammer and try to prise apart the essential unity of the servants of God. My friend, when that happens from outside, that's a problem. But it's a far greater problem when it happens inside congregations. Let us pray that our people will never give themselves to be tools in the hand of the devil, but rather pray that the Lord would weld us tightly together as a fighting unit in the army of God to go forth in the crusade against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Caesarea, it did happen. As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And it tells us there in the previous chapter in the report of what happened, it says that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, let us now be in much prayer because of a little baby here And this little baby needs to be cared for, needs to be fed, needs to be looked after, needs to be loved. And let us pray that the Lord would weld us together and would fill each one of us with Holy Spirit and with the fire of Almighty God. I look back over this past 29 years. I remember vividly coming into this country. I come in like a common criminal. We had gone through the immigration procedures in Northern Ireland. We were accepted for immigration into the country. And then I heard on the radio in Northern Ireland one morning, about a month before I was due to come out, I heard that the Attorney General of this province and the Attorney General of the federal government in Ottawa were working together to try and keep me and Dr. Paisley from getting into this country. And so I spoke to our brother, and I says, "Brother, what I do?" This is a Monday morning. He says, "Brother, get on the next plane and get out there while you have your approval before these characters do anything else." And so, being a little bit, believe the wisdom of the Lord was in it, instead of flying to Toronto, we flew to Montreal. Went through the immigration procedures there. They didn't know much of what was happening down here in Toronto. Then I flew in and listened to the radios and listened to the televisions and read in the newspapers. And by the way, if you want to see it, take time to go up to our prayer room and that wing upstairs, and you'll see the paperwork, what they wrote about us in those days. An awful storm of opposition against us in that day. But my, how the Lord is blessed. And I think, you know, I was just so rejoicing. We put an advertisement in the Toronto Star this past Saturday. We don't normally do it now, but we did it last Saturday. And the man who was the greatest antagonist against us was an Anglican minister called Tom Harper. He had roots in Northern Ireland. And he tried to destroy our work and was instrumental in leading us to get our building demolished on Cosburn Avenue. He tried. He has just started to write articles again in the Toronto Star, mostly to deny the existence of the Lord Jesus. He's written a book called The Pagan Christ, that the Christ that we worship has come to us by a development and evolution of a pagan thought. And then also he has now the idea that Jesus never ever lived. But you can have a good Christian faith even though we never lived. And it talks about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It wasn't literal, it was spiritual. But how you can resurrect even spiritually something that never existed is beyond me. But he started right again the Star. And I prayed, "Lord, make sure that our ad is right beside his article." And sure enough, on Saturday it was. There's his article. And then his egotism, he'd have to look at the paper. He'd have to check it and see was it right in there. And just across the page is our ad for this meeting tonight on 23 churches established in the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. How good is the God that we adore. How good has God been to us? We are nobody. As somebody, as has been often said, the free churches, God's laugh at the apostasy. We're nobody. But yet, what God has done, and I believe that it's not a trite saying to make, that the best is yet to be, and the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this happy occasion. And we bless You, O God, that we're gathered here as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We thank Thee, our Father, that we have Thee as our Father. We rejoice, O God, that Jesus is our elder brother and our Savior. And we thank Thee, O God, we're indwelled by the blessed, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. O God, we bless Thee for Thy great goodness. We ask Thee, Lord, that now as we've set out and this new development, that Thou would go before us. We think, Lord, of our motto text for this year, "The Lord, He it is that doth go before Thee." Lord, in 1976, we had no idea where we're going, but now we can look back and thank Thee for Thy divine direction. And Lord, as we stand now in 2005, we know not what the future holds, but Lord, we know that Thou art leading us each step of the way. May we go forward rejoicing until finally we go sweeping through the gates of the New Jerusalem. And so, our Father, accept our thanks, bless us, and fill us with the Holy Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as our closing hymn number 685. The 685, and we'll call upon our brother Gingery. We're so glad to have him with us. One of the original elders of the church in Greenville. He'll ask our brother to lead us at this time.
Stand, please, as we sing 685. Only on the third.
And the men the fourth.
Like to thank Dr. McClellan for that timely word, precious word, a needy word for all of our hearts this evening. Could we invite everyone and remind you that there are refreshments afterwards, and we do invite you warmly to stay behind for a cup of tea and refreshments. And then there's gifts for the minister's wives downstairs, and so ladies, please keep that in mind. There's a gift for all the minister's wives. The men will just have to wait to Christmas for that new pair of socks. But however, please, ladies, keep that in mind. Now we're going to call upon Dr. Larry Sanders to come and lead us in the benediction and to give thanks, please.
Our Father in heaven, as we conclude this special meeting tonight, The prayer of our heart is that the breath of heaven would be breathed upon each one of us. We would know the power of God in our ministries, that every congregation represented here tonight would know the fullness of the Spirit of God. We ask of Thee, O Lord, that Thou would launch us forth by the strength of God this evening. We thank Thee for what our ears have heard, what our eyes have seen tonight. We thank Thee for the heritage that we enjoy of men of God. We bless Thee for the forefathers, these men of faith that have gone before us. And Lord, we today bask in the sunlight and enjoy the rich spiritual heritage from those that have gone before. And so, Father, we lift our thanksgiving to Thee and pray that Thou wilt come and bless us in these incoming years, that we will know much of the help and power of God. Lord, take us, we pray, and use us for thine own glory, for Thy great and eternal purpose. Lord, again, we know we're unworthy. We're unworthy of the least of Thy mercies. And yet, Father, we come to acknowledge tonight that we have everything in Christ. And we are blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have a tremendous home to look forward to. O God, bless Thy people, we ask of Thee. And now, Father, we pray that as we continue this evening and have a time of fellowship, we look for the blessing of God, for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us. And Father, for those who have not been able to be here tonight, but they're with us in spirit, Father, bless them, encourage their hearts, and strengthen them. Receive our thanks this evening for all Thy goodness to us. For we pray all these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen.